Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
So, welcome to the Back in Time podcast. This is Kyle Autry, joined by my co-host, Justin. He's had a few weeks off. How's it going, Justin? You feeling refreshed?
Feeling refreshed, feeling like I actually got to sleep a little bit. Kick that bender in the boot and let's rock.
Man, how excited are you to talk some Arnold Schwarzenegger here?
Really, all props go to the fans for voting in our survey and for picking Kindergarten Cop. So I'm very excited.
I got to say, were you surprised by the results of the poll? Because I got to say, I was.
Yeah, you know what? I really thought that Kindergarten Cop was going to run away with it. I did not think it was going to be a close race.
Wow. Yeah, I thought for sure that Last Action Hero was going to win. There was, like, no doubt in my mind that we were talking Last Action Hero. In fact, I was at the store, like, getting ready to buy the movie, and then I saw the poll topic kind of change that night, and I was like, oh, I better wait. So I ended up having to go out and get Kindergarten Cop for, like, $3 at the secondhand store.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so my movie collection continues to grow thanks to the podcast. So as usual, we'll kind of do some intro to the movie a little bit, and then we're gonna break down the trailer here in a second. So, you know, why don't we start with like first memories of Kindergarten Cop? So, you know, JD, when do you remember seeing Kindergarten Cop for the first time?
That's a really good question. When did I first see Kindergarten Cop? What year did it come out?
1990.
Gosh, I had to have seen it with my next door neighbors.
Wow.
Had to have been super young. And they had a really great TV setup going on in their living room. And yeah, I mean, I remember watching Kindergarten Cop many a time.
The old boob tubes. Love those things. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to even think about that this movie's 27 years old. It's just... It definitely doesn't feel that old to me. But you know, I have to say, after rewatching most of it today, it definitely feels very 1990. The references and stuff have not aged well.
Well, especially some of the actors. Like, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much or get into too much right now, but this movie's got one of the best villains from the 90s. I love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like as good a time as any to probably talk a little casting, but you're referring to Richard Tyson, who plays the lead antagonist here, Crisp. Not to be confused with Coco Crisp.
Or Gordon Crisp.
And I'll pull up his IMDb here, but do you remember him in any other movies?
I want to say he's in an episode of Seinfeld.
Let's see. That could be very well true. Man, he's got a long, long list here of stuff that he's done. I am not seeing Seinfeld on here.
Well, he's in the episode in my head.
He's got 124 credits. So he was the owner of Stiffy's in the movie Kingpin, if you remember that one. He was in Black Hawk Down. And then he's also the detective from Something About Mary.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah, he's... Man, I didn't realize that he's worked this much. Like, he has got, like, 14 movies that are in post-production, pre-production, or are currently filming right now. So, and another, like, seven or eight movies in development right now.
He's your classic Hollywood working actor.
Yeah. you don't really know much about him. Let's talk about some of the other cast right here. We'll obviously get to Arnold. He's the big fish here in the pond. But this movie's directed by Ivan Reitman, obviously famous for Ghostbusters. But he's done quite a few other films on his resume here. What are your thoughts on Ivan Reitman as a director?
I think the Reitman family is amazing. Both him and his son Jason have great work throughout their careers.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that, and you know, it's interesting. Like in between Ghostbusters, he does pretty much every movie with Arnold. So I don't know if he had like some kind of just a really good working relationship, or he just really was a big fan of his. But I mean, he ended up doing Twins, Kindergarten Cop, Junior, and then in between that, or at the end of that, he did 6 Days, 7 Nights, and he really hasn't done much in the last probably 10, 15 years other than, what's that movie? Draft Day. He recently did that one. It was a football movie. And then he did...
That was with Costner?
Yep. And then he did No Strings Attached with Ashton Kutcher. But other than that, that's the only two things he's done in the last 11 years. So he's I think he's more of just a producer these days from the looks of it. But obviously, we're going to talk a lot about Ivan Reitman in some future episodes when we cover Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2. And I have to imagine at some point we're going to talk some Stripes, too.
Oh, obviously. Yes. Yes, please.
Why don't we talk about the co-lead role in the movie here? It's the lady's name is Joyce in the movie, and it's Penelope Ann Miller. Any thoughts on Joyce?
She scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Really? Why'd she scare you?
Okay, look. All right, let me pause. Are we talking about his partner, or about the mom?
The mom.
Oh, I thought we were talking about his partner. His partner scared the crap out of me. No, the mom had a little. She had a little shake in her caboose.
Yes, his partner is Phoebe, played by Pamela Reed. I love her character just in the fact that she's always talking about food, and she's just like this tiny little lady. So it's hilarious that like anytime she's talking with Kimball, she's like, "I gotta eat. I'm starving." It's just funny.
I love what she does with the Russian accent when she's Ursula.
Yeah, no, I love her accent and. Just that I know we'll talk about that in the movie, but it's a funny scene where she just all of a sudden flips the script and she's like, "Oh, I'm his brother," she's like, "Oh, I'm his sister from Austria," and he's just like, "What are you doing?" Because it's totally against what they had talked about. She's supposed to be his wife. So, but yeah, she's a good character. Let's talk about the man though, real quick, and then we'll get to the trailer breakdown here. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously the lead character in this film. What's your first memory of Schwarzenegger? Is it Terminator or is it something else?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Yep.
That's in my world, in my life, when I learned who Arnold Schwarzenegger was, it was Terminator 2.
Yep. Yeah, I would say that would have to be true for me as well. And then maybe Total Recall, that might have been on my list, but I don't think I realized how big of an actor he was until T2. But yeah, no, I thought this kind of starts he's this big action star, and then this starts like a little string of films here where, he's not always, this like just badass action guy. Like he's actually got some, character, and he can make you laugh a little bit. This obviously leads to Jingle All the Way, which is definitely a future episode, and then Batman and Robin as Mr. Freeze. So overall, I would have to say, the casting's pretty good in this movie. They've got all your classic characters that you want to have, including the principal, which we won't talk about, but I thought she's great. So let's jump into the original trailer, which I have not watched yet. And if you're new to this episode, so what we do every time is we'll give you the code to type into YouTube, pull it up on your end. We're going to give a 3-2-1 countdown, and we're going to watch this thing together here. Okay? So if you can, go into YouTube, type in Kindergarten Cop 1990 official trailer. And it's going to be the one that says Arnold Schwarzenegger Movie HD. It's by Movie Clips Trailer Vault. And then I'll give a 3-2-1 countdown and we'll begin here. So you ready on your end, JD?
I'm ready. Let's rock. All right.
Cool. Here we go. So 3-2-1 click.
Now, more than ever, to be a teacher requires patience, kindness, and understanding. Fortunately, Astoria Elementary has just hired such an individual. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten is like the ocean. You don't want to turn your back on it.
Don't worry. Everything is under control.
He's an undercover detective.
I assume you have some teaching experience.
They wouldn't have sent me otherwise.
Assigned to find a mother and son.
Did Danny ever say what Crisp's wife looked like?
Before a killer does.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
A male kindergarten teacher. That's unusual.
He's been trained to shoot.
What made you become a kindergarten teacher?
He's been trained to fight. But there are some things...
You mean you eat other people's lunches? Stop it!
He's never been trained to handle.
They're walking all over me.
Listen, Kimball. You gotta handle this like any other police situation.
You're going to be my deputy trainees. You're not gonna have your mommies run behind you anymore and wipe your little douches. You are mine now.
I'm not a policeman. I'm a princess.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You hit the kid, I hit you.
Wow.
In an Ivan Reitman film.
Are you married, Mr. Kimball?
No, I'm not.
He's not married, Mom!
Welcome to Astoria, the single-parent capital of America.
You got a little mustache.
Must be from the milk.
Kindergarten Cop.
Okay, so JD, first impressions of the trailer.
Dude, this movie looks bomb.
Yeah, I have
to watch it again.
It's a good trailer. But I love, and I think we've talked about this in some previous episodes. But just anytime we have the voiceover guy, I'm always excited about that, just because I miss that in movie trailers. And then two, it's kind of similar to Judge Dredd, where it's not so much trying to sell the movie, but it's selling the main character as the reason on why you should come see this. Arnold Schwarzenegger as a substitute teacher. It's just like, oh my god, yeah, the guy from Total Recall, I'm in.
Right, it's brilliant marketing.
So it's just a lot of funny little one-liners in there where he's grabbing the kids, or the one kid telling him to stop eating the lunch. But the music, if you notice, is like real calm in the background. So it's making you, I don't know, do you think that was on purpose to make, you know, the audience realize this isn't going to be like this big action movie?
Well, I think so because, you know, you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is at this point, and you know what to expect from his movies, and this ain't that.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, I have to say, after watching this, definitely excited to finish up the movie that I started and see how it ends, because I'm about 3/4 of the way through. It's been really good so far, so getting to the finale here, but... What are you looking forward most to in watching the movie? It's been a while since you've seen it, right?
It has been a while since I've seen it, and I will go ahead and spoiler alert and say I have not seen the second one. But I'm definitely looking. I mean, all of the quotes that I remember from this movie that you just have quoted, we've quoted throughout our entire lives. Like, I'm looking to relive those moments and reintroduce some new fun quips.
Yeah. It's not a tumor.
That's good. That was a good one.
Yeah. I think my Arnold's a little too over the top. If I could just bring it back a step or two, I'd be right on with how he does it. But
well, give me a get into the chopper.
Everybody to the chopper! Yeah,
see,
yeah.
You
too much tongue roll.
There.
Too much tongue roll. Way way too aggressive there. I'm going to have to work on this before we do the real movie. So,
we got a little time.
I can practice.
Yes, you can.
So, based off of the trailer, let's do some box office. This is kind of a new segment. Me and you actually haven't really even done one of these yet. I did one last week with our special guest host, Tim Burton, who I thought did a good job filling in and helping out. But yeah, I mean, based off of the trailer, how would you assume that this movie does at the box office?
Money-wise?
Yes.
That's hard to say without doing the budget, but I'm going to assume it made a modest splash in the water, and it probably gained over the weeks as people went to school and the schoolhouse effect took over. So I would say it probably doubled its budget.
Okay. That's a really interesting point that you made there about the word of mouth at school. So the budget for the movie is $15 million. This is a Christmas movie, so that's why I thought it was a great pick for December. So this was released on December 22nd, a couple days before Christmas in 1990, distributed by Universal. It's a comedy movie, PG-13, so very family-friendly. Opening weekend, we'll get into December 21st through the 23rd. They open up with a $7.9 million in the first weekend, ranking number two at the box office. Can you remember another very popular Christmas movie that might have debuted in close to December 1990?
Dances with Wolves.
You're always so close on this. It's shocking that you haven't got it yet. However, you're going to be surprised when I do the top 10 movies that were in theaters that month. So, but the number one movie at the box office was Home Alone. So they were not able to knock them off that top spot. And Home Alone was actually in week six. So they were still going strong. Now, to your point, this is a movie that continues the game stream. So 7.9 the first weekend. Second weekend, they bring in another $10.9 million. In the third week, they bring in $16.3 million. In week four, they brought in another $9.4 million. So on a $15 million budget, 4 weeks in, they're already at $44.7 million, which is three times the budget. And this movie would actually stay in theaters for over 20 weeks. So going from December 21st, 22nd release date, all the way until the next June was the time in theaters. So 6 months. That's pretty impressive. Now, the total domestic for the movie here is we grossed $91 million domestically. And then internationally, even more impressive, over $100 million. So the worldwide total for Kindergarten Cop is going to top over $190 million. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. That's, I would say, just way, way more than I expected, for sure. So, I mean, $15 million and you're going to get a $200 million return, which in 1990, I believe when I did the numbers, it was like, if it was today, the budget would have been closer to the $40 million and the worldwide gross would have been closer to the $400 million for a kid comedy that's not a cartoon. That's like unheard of these days. So, I mean, what do you think has happened to cinema where, you know, these movies just don't seem to do well anymore and they're really not getting made?
I think part of it has to do with the reverse effect of what I'm going to call the schoolyard effect, of where movies are more prone to get a diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And they're not making those ripple splashes where, you know, you can expect to make your money back over and over and over again. You can do it on a lower budget by putting a small bank into a lead like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, right. To think that it was brilliant, it's like, you know, if you wanted to look at all of the budgets of Arnold Schwarzenegger's other movies, then compare it to this, and then look at how much money this one made just by taking a massive action star and putting him in a non-action movie.
Yeah, and I think you see some of this today with Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, where he can do movies like this and they still do really well. Not these type of numbers well, but they put up respectable numbers. And then he's got his massive action movies that'll do, you know, anywhere between $200 to $500 million, like the Fast and Furious franchise. But other than him, I just don't know that there's any stars that are like that can really carry a movie domestically and internationally. So I'm surprised that Chris Hemsworth hasn't done more of this from Thor. What are your thoughts on that?
See, that's a really good point, you know, especially to look at the superhero movies and the Marvel movies and to say that they've had the same sort of impact culturally, both domestically and internationally. And outside of The Rock, I really don't know. I'm sorry, Dwayne Johnson. Please, Rock, if I've offended you, rock bottom me from anywhere.
from anywhere.
Fluffy Bunny 69, just come on, bring it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think the cinema's in sort of like a wasteland almost.
Yeah, it's an interesting landscape these days to figure out. So let's do some top 10 from December 22nd of 1990. So number one movie at the box office that week was Home Alone in week number 6. Another massive success. This was a movie that only had an $18 million budget. And their total domestic gross, I believe, let me actually look it up here. I know it was a lot when I looked. $285 million domestically, $476 million worldwide. So that'd be like $700 million these days with inflation. So Home Alone was a massive success. And then, of course, you got number two, Kindergarten Cop. We talked about that. Number three at the box office, The Godfather Part 3. Justin, what do you think of The Godfather? You know, are you a fan of the movie?
I'm a fan of the movie. I'm not a fan of your impression, though.
Okay, it was terrible. Yeah, I felt it as I was saying it. Number four, Edward Scissorhands in week number 3 at the box office. That's a classic. We got to cover that at some point.
I don't remember that movie being that old. Why do I remember all these movies coming out in like 1993?
It's probably when you started watching them, I would imagine. Number five, Always Your Guess, Dances with Wolves. We were close. They were in week number 7 in 1990 in December. So you almost had the answer right for the first time.
One of these times I will have it right. Yeah. Mark my words.
It'll be a movie from like October 1990, and then you'll nail it. Or that'll be the week where you're like, Home Alone? And I'll be like, God damn it. Just say your regular answer. Number six, Look Who's Talking, Part 2, the not-so-successful sequel. Number seven, The Russia House. Never heard of that. Number eight, The Bonfire of the Vanities. That's another, looks like a major flop. $47 million budget, and they did $4 million opening weekend. Who's in this movie? Tom Hanks, Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, and Kirsten Dunst. Interesting. I've literally never heard of this movie. Have you?
No. Like, how is that an all-star cast? And how is it unheard of?
That's a weird one.
A flop. Damn.
Number nine, Misery. That's a favorite of mine. And then number 10, Three Men and a Little Lady. Never heard of that movie either, but this movie has done surprisingly well. So it had $44 million at the box office. Oh, that's why. Tom Selleck. 1990. Okay. He's gold in 1990.
I was just about to just jump down your throat, rip you a new one. It's a sequel to Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. That's my bad. Yeah. You know what, Tom Selleck? I love your mustache, and you owe me a good punch in the chin for that remark. So that kind of rounds out the top 10 for December 1990. So, now, have you gone and seen any movies recently? I know I've been on your butt about getting the movie pass, which I've been seeing literally everything in theaters, but...
No, I was going to see the Orient Express, but then I decided not to.
After talking to me?
Well, I just...
Did I tell you? I don't think I told you about that. I did see that movie a couple days ago, and I think maybe I was talking to another buddy of mine, but it wasn't bad. It's a lot of mystery, and I won't give out the spoiler, but you know the ending had me definitely scratching my head, go, wow, I did not expect that one at all. So we've got number one movie at the box office right now is Coco, the animated movie. Number two, Justice League. Number three, The Little Engine That Could, Wonder. I saw that in theater about a week and a half ago and absolutely loved that movie. That's I don't know if you saw the trailer, but it's the kid kind of has like a deformed face. And it has Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts in it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That was a good Owen Wilson.
Wow.
Wow, that's spot on. Holy crap. But yeah, so coming out this weekend, I'm really excited because I've been doing so much research on this movie. And it's going to be The Disaster Artist that debuts tonight, actually, since it's Thursday. Yeah. Have you watched any of the stuff on Disaster Artist?
I actually just recently was watching an interview about it. I was reading an article about it. I have to play a little bit dumb and say I've never actually seen The Room. I've seen clips, but I have not either.
So, but I would say, you know, just one of the interviews I saw with it, they were asking the cast, like, for somebody that's never seen The Room, like, are they going to go to this and, like, totally be like, what? I don't get it. Like, what is the joke here? And they said that the way that the movie's set up is you should watch this and then be so excited to go see The Room after.
That's a really interesting way of thinking about it. I like that.
Yeah. And then for somebody that's seen The Room, then this is kind of a no-brainer because you've loved this movie for, you know, 13 years. And now it's got, you know, it's finally getting the press that it's been getting in, like, the underground cinema. It's just, it's a crazy story. Do some research on the guy from The Room. His name's Tommy Wiseau, and you will like fall in love with this guy.
Like, oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That's so, about all I know.
Yeah. Well, his thing, the real Tommy Wiseau is he says, the room is a safe place. You can laugh. You can cry. You can express yourself. Just don't hurt yourself. And that's what he says about The Room. So as soon as he said that, I'm like, I'm in. I have to see this
rock and
movie.
Roll.
So that's going to come out this week. I'm sure we'll talk about that next week because I'm going to go see it tomorrow in the afternoon. As always, follow us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/backintimepod. I've been a little lazy updating that one, so I'll get it updated this week. Social media, we're all over that. Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram. All episodes will be up on YouTube. And as always, find us on the iTunes app or Apple Podcast and hit the subscribe button. That makes sure you never miss an episode. And I would say, you know, we've got tomorrow. I know Justin still needs to watch the movie. This may come out. The full episode might be on the weekend or it might be early next week. And then the following week, we're going to dive into some Gremlins. So as we get into Christmas season, which means my favorite actor, we're going to finally get to talk about him. You know who he is.
The old guy from the Gremlins.
Oh, yeah, the old guy. I do like that guy.
Yeah.
But no, Corey Feldman. Come on, bro.
I know.
You know it. But yeah, that'll wrap it up for today. We'll be back with the full episode. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.